My role at the Olympics was event services security.
I was at the I was a team leader in the basketball arena.
I worked at Eton Dorney on what they call events and services. And when I finished at Eton Dorney, I spent the rest of the time at the XL. Met so many nice people, and we had the opportunity to stay together, because once the games had finished, we didn't have anything to do, you know, and it was an opportunity to keep together as games makers and do something. And none of us are great singers, but we enjoy getting together and singing.
Such a great summer. You sort of had a lot of training to be a games maker, which was unbelievably well done, and everything felt quite quiet and dull afterwards, so here we are.
I had sung in choirs many years ago, but it's been a long time, and so I kind of saw this as an ideal opportunity to combine the two things and also to keep a connection with the games makers and the Olympics, because it was such an intense period, but it was a very short period ultimately.
It's evolving, it's taking a shape, and obviously they're games makers and always will be games makers stroke volunteers, and so I think the choir still has got potential, but these are people who got a really sort of volunteer spirit. They are very just looking at this group of people, just they are so warm-hearted, and just see the friendships I think that are developing between lots of these people. It's really heartwarming, and I've heard one say that this is a place where she feels she really belongs, and so you sort of feel that the choir is more than it's more than what's the expression, it's greater than the sum of its parts.
I was working with in the protocol team as an assistant to African sports ministers. So I had I was sort of taking them between their hotels and the venues that they wanted to go to, and had some very, very odd requests around, you know, I want to eat some steak, or can you help me choose what type of aftershave for a black man, you know, I need aftershave, can you help me, you know. So I had a ridiculous range of events, and actually one of the nicest stories was the Burkina Faso team in the Paralympics. They hadn't transferred the money across, so they hadn't got a hotel before the Paralympic athletes' village opened up. They phoned up the local convent in Brentwood. It was absolutely amazing, you know, all these nuns in their 80s, they were just so delighted to have been part, they felt like they'd been part of it, and I had no idea what was going on, and they just said, oh, and it was all in French as well, and my French isn't brilliant, so they were saying, well, we've got to go and see these religious people. I was thinking, what are we, where are we going, what are we doing? But it was lovely, it was really nice.
We all fought over bringing Michael Phelps in, and I didn't get to drive or greet, but I decided I was going to open the door for him when the car arrived, so I, you know, dutifully opened the door, and there he was, sat in the passenger seat, and he just sat there, and I said, are you all right? Because that was my instinct, and he said, had a bit of a tiring week. At which point he literally got up out of the chair and he literally staggered down the corridor because he was so exhausted. And I remember thinking, I'd wanted to meet this great swimmer, and I just have visions of him staggering down the corridor because he was absolutely spent.
Gabon's been competing for 40 years in the Olympics and they've never won a medal. And I've never seen a taekwondo match, but I was at the taekwondo stadium with their sports minister, and he unfortunately just was pipped to the post for the gold, but he got silver, and the minister just went berserk and ran completely, wasn't allowed backstage at all, but just ran through all the security checks, and I was just trying to catch up with him behind him, running along, and he just ran through, and the athlete came off and was just dripping sweat and just absolutely, you know, just jubilant, and the minister got his phone and called the president of Gabon and was like, c'est le président! And just passed the president over on the phone to the athlete. It was just amazing.
I've just got rid of the black toe now from the very first day in my trainers. It finally came off last week. Do you want that on your...
That was your lasting memory.
That's my lasting memory and it's now gone. Imagine if the games makers are the kind of thing that everyone celebrates, and we were also thinking, yeah, right, you know, it's not likely to be that. And there was a slide in the presentation that had mock-ups of newspaper quotes, and it had this quote that said, "Games make us proud." You know, headline: "Games make us proud." And then it totally came true. You know, that's the like completely and utterly came true that people were writing articles and celebrating and saying that we were so good. It's just amazing.
Sebko was right, wasn't he?
When you were doing the role and actually wearing the uniform, people wanted to talk to you. Yeah. People actually, you know, kind of sought you out and wanted to say thank you. And that was so strange, yeah. You know, but really lovely. There was so much warmth towards us.
If I'd done it because I wanted to see sport, I was really, really lucky because I could do that. But actually, the thing that my strongest, most wonderful memory is just being on the park and feeling the sort of vibe. You know, the idea that you walk onto a place where everyone is happy.
I got up at 3:30 every morning and got a train at 4:00 to get to my 6:20 shift start. And I was going home one afternoon and I had absolutely been a roasting hot dad, absolutely had it. And I got onto the train and there was a group of guys sitting on the train and one of them said, "I'm going to go and sit next to her because I want to talk to her about the Olympics." And I'm thinking, oh no! But then you go, ka-ching!
Yes!
The smile arrives.
Yes!
Those late
trains were the worst, weren't they? Yeah. They were the ones when you really knew, and she'd please just leave me alone.
Yes.
Is a once-in-a-lifetime opportunity. So, you know, as a group of people, albeit maybe 70,000 or more, you have this shared experience, and it's you know, something that nobody can kind of take away from you. And it was very, very unique having that real shared positive attitude to gain. And it's maybe a bit of a cliche, but it's living in a city the size of London and the nature of the city like London, it's not something that you necessarily always get to experience on a daily or even weekly basis.
But you can't just you can't just meet up and talk to people about how fantastic the games were. Like, you have to then have something that goes on beyond it. And I think the fact that you have that, you know, singing, people enjoy singing so much, and actually then there's a sort of, it takes on a life of its own. That the people that you're singing with have all had a similar experience that bonds us together and also have got a similar kind of outlook on life. It's a kind of winning combination.
You say, can you put some chairs out? And there's like 100 people trying to put the chairs out. Everyone wants to help as much as they can.
Yeah.